You can turn to Isaiah chapter 59. I didn't put the title on the board this morning, but the title is very simple. It's in the text. When Truth Falls in the Street. When Truth Falls in the Street, Isaiah 59. This is a powerful, powerful chapter. The whole chapter is powerful. And it describes the times in which we live, the times in which Israel was in their history. Actually, I'll back up just a few verses, and we'll start with it's hard to back up and start because it's the whole chapter. But let's just start with verse 8. Isaiah 59, verse 8. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we all grope as if we die. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before us, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against us, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Now here's our text, verse 14. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth far off. For truth, or you could put the word because truth is fallen in the street, and equity can't enter. Father, help us this morning to understand these words. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to be our teacher this morning as we look into your word. Thank you that we have your word, the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, a complete book. Speak to us through it, this morning we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the message this morning is titled "The Truth When Truth Falls in the Street." First thing I did is I got Wikipedia open, and I looked up the word truth. That's an interesting thing just in itself. Just look up what Wikipedia says about truth, because it covers page after page after page, because there's all kinds of philosophies on what truth is. You know, what is truth? How do you measure truth? What's your idea of truth? What's their idea of truth? And everybody's got a theory on what truth is. So no wonder Pilate, a highly educated man, when Jesus was standing before him, he said, what is truth? What's your definition of truth? Everybody had a definition of truth. And so it's not something that a lot of people can nail down, but according to the Bible, it's not a subjective thing. It's an objective thing. It's not relative. It's absolute.
That's right.
That's what the Bible declares, and God just takes it for granted that truth is truth and error is error, and we have the laws of God written on our heart to confirm that the fact that God's laws are true. And so there's a lot here on our plate, and I hope that as we look through this morning and kind of meditate on it, that it really jump out at us and get a hold of us, because this is something I have a passion for. As far as I hope everybody should have a passion for this, and I trust you do too, is for truth. Just, you know, seeking truth. It seems there's so few people today that they really want to know the truth about everything. I mean, they want to go so far, and then they got enough truth. I got enough truth now, so I'm okay. This is as far as I want to go, you know, because truth, with truth comes responsibility, but also with truth comes many blessings. If you just partially know something about something, you're not nearly as good off as somebody who, well off as somebody who knows the whole truth about that particular item or that particular concept. And so truth is very, very important, and it's important that we understand that truth is absolute. And if it's absolute, then it behooves us to know what truth really is. Not be satisfied with something that's half-baked or halfway there, but is totally there. And, of course, wherever you have truth, you have a lie. The devil is a master deceiver. He is the arch-enemy of every Christian. He's the arch-enemy of all truth. He's the great deceiver. He's the angel of light. parades himself as an angel of light. And so wherever you have truth, you have error. And of course, error is all around us. So if truth is absolute, then there is such a thing as a lie. But if truth is relative, there's really no such thing as a lie. Because what truth is to me may not be truth to you. And what a lie is to me may not be a lie to you. So you see what this area, this is really more. I remember when I was going to college, believe it or not, I went to Eastern Washington College for, I think, a year. I was out there for about a year, a long time ago, before you came along. But you know something that stood out in my mind? Even when I was going to college, clear back when, I remember that we had to write a paper on something. I don't remember what it was, but I wrote my paper, and I remember the professor, after he got the paper, he marked it all up, and he was really struck by the fact that I was authoritarian, that I was actually coming from a point of view that there was absolute truth, because that really bothered him. Because he just, then this is way back. So imagine what it's like today. I mean, he was really bothered by the fact that somebody would dare to write on a subject from a point of view of absolute truth or authoritarianism, as he called it. But that's the way the Bible is. Truth is truth. Black is black and white is white and gray is gray. And what do you want to live in? You want to live in gray? You want to live in black and white? The world is a black and white world as far as God is concerned. As Shakespeare said, and as I've quoted many times, truth needs no color. It can stand alone. It can stand alone, and it does stand alone. But in our text, we find out that sometimes truth falls in the street. And when truth falls in the street, we got problems. Because it creates a terrible log jam or a traffic jam. One of the things that just irritates me to no end, and it happened even this last week. Josh and I were driving somewhere. I don't remember where it was, but we were driving along, and there was going on up ahead. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't anything very momentous. And the traffic slowed down to 5 or 10 miles an hour for miles. It seemed like miles. It wasn't miles, probably, but it seemed like miles before we finally got to this place where everybody was rubbernecking what was going on in the next lane over there. Had nothing to do with this lane of traffic. And that just irritated me so much. And, that, you know, the people do that. Why don't they just drive on through, you know? I mean, take a picture if you want to see it, but don't make everybody else slow down so you can get so we couldn't get through the traffic. But anyway, I don't even know why I told the story now. I totally lost my train of thought here. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So when truth falls in the street, you get a log jam. You get a traffic jam, just like I was trying to say there. So, but the Bible does present truth as absolute. Even Genesis 1:1 is a good example of that. In the beginning, God created. It's not an argument. It's not saying, you know, not a suggestion. It's not something that, it's just a fact. It just takes as a fact, in the beginning, God. Anybody who looks at the universe, sees that everything that's out there, has to admit, this didn't just happen. Something created this, everything we see out there. Whether you're looking at something under a microscope, it's very, very small, or whether you're looking at something, a telescope that's very far away. Everywhere you look, you see God. So God assumes that. And one of the things I want you to notice in the text here is that truth isn't dead because the truth is eternal. It can never be dead. You can't erase truth. But truth can fall in the street. And when truth falls in the street, what happens? Not only is there a traffic jam, but equity and justice can't get through. Isn't that what's going on today in the world? Isn't that what we see today in the world? Truth is not dead, but it's fallen down the street, and we got a big traffic jam. Justice is not, it can't get through. One of the things I say to people when I'm talking to them is, and when I'm witnessing to people, I say, they don't believe in hell. I say, for heaven's sakes, do you think there's justice in this world? No, there's not justice in this world. It'll have to be in the next world. God will catch up with everything. That's why there's a hell. So, there is a right and wrong truth. There is absolute truth. And if there's absolute truth, then there's the demand of obedience to that truth and rejection of all that's wrong. When you assume that. The next thing I want to point out here is that all people have a shot at the truth. I want to jump around a little bit here in the Bible. If you want to turn to Romans chapter 1, very familiar text. Romans chapter 1, verses 19, it says, because that which may be known of God, 119, Romans 119, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Notice that word in. For God has showed it unto them. What about all the heathen in Africa? That's the question people want to ask. Well, here's an answer right here. God has manifest in every human being the fact of his existence. He has showed unto them, verse 20, because the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, not vaguely seen, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Those are powerful verses. And the reason God can say that is because there's absolute truth. And because people are responsible. We're made in God's image. And if we're made in God's image, we have choices. We can choose wrong or we can choose right. And we take the consequences of those choices and we bear them, whether it's good or bad. And so we have the truth. It's inbred within us. We're made in God's image and likeness, and God has showed it unto all of us. Everybody has a shot at the truth. It just depends on what you do with the truth when you get it, whether you're going to get more truth or more light. And also, I want to point out the fact that some truths are more valuable than others. We all want to get as much truth as we can about everything, but there are obviously some truths that are more important than others. Some people devote their entire life, let's just use an example, into business. They throw their entire life into the business world and they're tremendously successful because they really understand the mechanics and laws of business. And because of that, and they make good choices in business and become rich. I don't know if some of you read that article about the guy in Russia that owns the biggest yacht in the world now. Anybody see that? Oh, it was 562 feet long. Has three helicopter pads on it, and it's all kinds of stuff. Can't believe it. This guy is just one of the yachts he owns. I didn't believe anybody in Russia was rich, but I guess he's one of the richest men in the world. So somehow he's found a way to make money even under communism. It's not communism anymore, but it used to be. So anyway, you can be very successful in home, and yet, neglect some of the most powerful truths, the more important truths, for example, spiritual truths, on the other hand, and what good does it do? What profit does a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Bible says, you know, it doesn't make any sense. So some truths are more valuable than others, so we have to discern what we're going to spend our time looking for in the world as far as truth. Now, Josh, I'll just use, since he's not here, I'll use an example. Josh has a tremendous mind, and he can sit and just say things off the top of his head that he's read 20 years. Well, he isn't 20 years, not that long ago, but, you know, he can just spout off things that are just, you know, right and left because he has that kind of a mind. And what does he refer to him to? I forget who he refers it to. What kind of knowledge? His own words. It's useless information, I think that's what he says, something like that. You know, there's lots of information in the world, but, you know, some of it's really pretty useless as far as a practical application is concerned. And so it behooves us as Christians to zero in and major in on the majors. There's some people in the world that are really philanthropic. They love people and they give to different causes, but they hate God. They have an aversion, an enmity to God that's unbelievable. And so they certainly are looking in the wrong direction, searching for truth in the wrong area. Another thing I want to point out about truth is it liberates us. Truth is, one of the reasons we should search out truth is because it really liberates us. John, the best verse on that is John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and what? The truth will make you free. Truth will make you free. Isn't it interesting that the people who claim to have the most freedom and liberal, they're so liberal and they have all this freedom and stuff, are the people that are enslaved. They're actually enslaved by their own sins. And yet they're the ones who are bragging about how free they are. They're not free at all. They're slaves of sin. The people who are really free are the people who zero in on this book, meditate on it, think on it, get the truth out of it, and then last of all, apply it to their life. Those are the people who are really, really free. I like to be free. I don't like to be a slave. We're all slaves to sin to some extent because we're sinners. Sometimes we get into a place where we have besetting sins that the Bible calls besetting sins. We come to kind of a particular sin, and God help us to be liberated from that. But the more we into the truth of the Word of God, the more we meditate on it and make it a part of our life, the freer we get. And the more liberty that we have. There are also consequences when truth is neglected or becomes inactive. I've already touched upon this a little bit. Equity can't get into this because truth has fallen down. Truth acts as a roadblock to equity and justice because it's fallen the street and nothing can get through. Pop quiz for you in the audience today that are over 50 years of age, because you have a little better perspective than some of the younger folks. But let me just ask you, when you were 15 years old, was there more justice in the world than there is now, or less? You don't have to raise your hand or talk on it, but just think about that. When you were 15 years old, those of you who are over 50, was there more justice and equity in the world than there is now? Yes, I think there was. And we could all agree to that there was. Why was that? Because truth hadn't fallen on its face in the street as it has now. And then another verse that's really good on this, in Romans 1:18, we truth falls on the street, equity cannot enter, judgment follows. God's judgment follows. If you're still in Romans, look at verse 18. Romans 1:18 says, for the God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That phrase is important. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What does that mean, to hold the truth in unrighteousness? I think it simply means that people have the truth. They turn away from it. They make it inactive. I don't know about you, but I have a program on my computer that, for the business that I sold to Josh. Under items, you can make any item on that list, on your list, inactive. It's still in there, and you can retrieve it anytime you want, but you can make it inactive so that when you're working with the program, you never see it. And so when people have the truth and they turn away from it and they make it inactive, you got real problems. And not only got real problems, but you got the wrath of God. Because you knew the truth, you turned away from it, you made it inactive, you let truth fall in the street. Now you can't see where you're going, you can't get through, you have real problems. Not only that, but you have the wrath of God upon you. I always tell people, and I don't always tell them this, but I think it in my mind, but when somebody hears the truth of the gospel, I don't care if it's the first time or the 20th time or the 30th time. When they hear the truth of the gospel, they are that much more responsible for what they do in the future, and they're accountable to God. And it's been better for them not to have heard what I just said to them than to hear it again and reject it. So truth always prevails, even when it's fallen in the street, because someday you'll have an account for it. And Romans 2:8 says this, but of them that are contentious, just over a chapter, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Now, what's it saying here simply is that those people that rebel against the truth, do not obey it, do not do what it says, but turn and obey unrighteousness, then what follows? What follows is indignation and wrath. That's what automatically follows anybody who rejects the truth. Whose wrath? The wrath of God. You say, well, I haven't seen the wrath of God. That's why you ought to be in Sunday school class with us and studying Revelation. Wrath of God, this, now you're not going to see it, hopefully, but the world's going to see it someday. They're going to see the real wrath of God. Where's the wrath now? It's being pent up. It's being filled up. And someday that cup will overflow, and this world will be rocked like it's never been rocked before. Men will cry out in fear for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. 2 Timothy 4:4 also says this, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. What happens when you turn away your ears from the truth? And shall be turned unto fables. When you move from truth, away from truth, you embrace a fable. Do we have any fables out there today? They're all around us, aren't they? One of the biggest and worst is evolution. There's no God. It's all an accident. It's all one big cosmic accident. What a stupid, stupid, idiotic position to take. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fable. Why do people believe in evolution? Because they believe in evolution because they reject the truth. It's not because it makes any sense. It's not because it's logical. It's not because it's scientific. It's because people have turned from the truth. When you turn from the truth, you're going to take up a fable. It's interesting. They always accuse us of believing in fables. They believe the Bible's a fable. The Bible makes a whole much more sense historically, archaeologically, or any other way you want to look at it than does evolution. It's the fable. Next thing I want to mention about truth is, if you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, this is an important verse. I want you to see this. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. Actually, verse 15. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul writing to Timothy, he's in prison, but he says, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now let that sink into your mind, your soul. The church is God's institution. It's Christ's institution, if I want to be specific about it. It's the institution that he set up. And it says it's the ground and pillar of the truth. You want to know why truth has fallen in the street in our culture? Because the churches have failed. We have failed to preach, teach, and live the truth. And so now they mock us. They walk on us. We've lost our Savior. But the church, I want to just emphasize, the church is the ground and pillar of the truth. Not a parachurch organization, not that it's wrong to have a parachurch organization, but it's not them that's God's commissioned to proclaim and teach hold the truth, but it's the church. It's the institution that he established. Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you know the Library of Congress is an interesting thing? I've never been there. I would love to go there sometime and spend 2 or 3 months there and not just begin to touch the surface of what's there. But the Library of Congress is the largest library in the world. It has nearly 142 million items on approximately 650 miles of shelf space. 650 miles of shelf space in the Library of Congress, full of all kinds of information. The collections include more than 32 million books and other print materials, 3 million recordings, 12.5 million photographs, 5.3 million maps, 5.6 million pieces of sheet music. There you go, Frank. 5.6 million pieces of sheet music and 62 million manuscripts. It's got one of three of the only copies of the Gutenberg Bible on vellum. And it's a marvelous place in Washington, D.C. Wonderful place of information. Where's one of the darkest places in our nation? Washington, D.C. Why is that? Because they threw this out and brought everything else in. Now, you know, the Library of Congress is a phenomenal thing. But without this, you got chaos, deception, lies, and corruption and fraud. The church has only one manual, the Bible. One manual, that's it. We don't have miles and miles of book spaces, we just have one manual. It's full of admonitions. It's full of warnings. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's taught by the Holy Spirit. It's preserved by the Holy Spirit. It was given by God. And in the church, it has all kinds of checks and balances. That's why God gave the church the authority and the privilege and the responsibility of handling truth, is because we have all the checks and balances in the church that we need if we follow the Word. You're to obey me, I'm to obey God, and if I get out of line, you measure me by this word. I measure you by the word. Everything is measured by the word. We have a law. We have levels of authority in the church. That's all for our protection. It's all for our protection, and the truth can be protected and propagated throughout the world. And so the church, and I just want to emphasize this because we live in a day today when the church is being downplayed almost everywhere. Yesterday on visitation, April 9, and Natasha were out, and this is kind of interesting. We met a couple ladies, and we told them where we were from, Spokane Baptist Church, and they said, "Oh, we have a house church." I said, "Well, that's great." I said, "The Bible's full of house churches." And she had utter disdain, didn't she, April, towards us. Just disdain towards us because we were part of an organized church. What was their church all about? I mean, what's the difference between whether you meet in a house or a building like this or a building with stained glass windows? It has nothing to do with it. But the structure of the church is what's important. But she had disdain for us because we were part of some organized church or something. I didn't quite understand that. But the church is that's God's place. That's God's way of preserving the truth. And that's, again, as I say, why we're in so much trouble. Look at the denominations. We don't belong to a denomination. Why? Because when you belong to a denomination, you belong to a big machine. And you belong to a big machine, all you got to do is clog up the machine and the whole thing goes bad. I've said this many times, but when you get in a big denomination, what happens? The devil goes to the seminaries. He messes up the professors. They bring in these great enlightened professors from Europe, higher criticism professors. And what do? They mess up the kids. They come out of their schools, they're all messed up, they go start churches. And then you got the old-timers sitting at churches who have heard the truth, and they say, "Well, this sounds kind of strange. What's going on here?" But they don't quite get it, and after a while they die out, and the younger people come along, they embrace it, and what do you got? You got corruption, you got apostasy, and you got a mess. That's why we don't belong to a denomination. It's not that we're against, if you want a denomination church, that's fine, but we don't want to do that. Because it's a lot harder to corrupt a single organization than it is a denomination. So, the church is the ground and pillar of the truth. It's the institution that Christ established to both propagate and preserve the truth of God. Truth is to be sought out above all else. As I said earlier, one of the things that I don't quite understand, I mean, I guess I understand it, but I don't quite understand it, is how people can be satisfied with just partial truth. But there seems to be so many people today, especially in our culture, that they're just very satisfied with where they are. And they don't really want anything else. They're just happy in their, in what. I want you to turn to Proverbs quickly, if you would. Psalms, Proverbs. I've always enjoyed learning new things. Not just for the sake of learning, but because it's valuable. Information is valuable. Truth is valuable. Especially God's truth. Verse 34 says this. We'll read on into chapter 9. Proverbs 8:34. "Blessed is the man who heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whosoever findeth me, this is talking about wisdom or truth, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, that's wisdom, wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. That is powerful. Did you hear that? All those that hate me, wisdom or truth, love death. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath set forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Who is simple? That's somebody who doesn't know much. Who is simple? Let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. So you get the picture here that wisdom has prepared a wonderful dinner. She's invited her guests, and she wants everybody to come in and benefit from this wisdom, from this truth. And those who don't benefit from it or don't take it in hate life and love death, according to this text. Now turn 119, back one book to Psalms 119. The psalmist, David, describes it a little differently. Psalms 119, verse 104, or verse 97, I'm sorry. Very familiar verses of Scripture. Psalmist says, oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You see the passion in these verses? The psalmist has the passion for truth and the benefits of going after that truth. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Honey is one of the most perfect foods you can eat. I eat honey every other day, a lot of it. It's a perfect food that God created for you. But David says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Turn to Psalms 19, just back a few pages. Psalms 19, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean. Enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. I feel so rich this morning. I feel so wealthy and rich. Not because I know so much. I know a little bit. But truth is a bottomless vessel that nobody can truly ever get to the bottom of. But the more truth you have, the more blessed you are, the more happy you are, the more fulfilled you are, the freer, the more or less encompassed with the world system you are, the more blessed of God you are, the further you get away from God's judgment. Everything is, you benefit from truth. And so the psalmist here says that very, very well, I think, in these verses. And very powerful verses. Having said all that, turn to Proverbs chapter 1 again, back to Proverbs chapter 1. Truth is so valuable, so wonderful, but so few want it. Chapter 1, verse 24, wisdom says, because I have called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your desolation cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. Then they'll call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, that they would none of my counsel. They wouldn't have anything to do with my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Powerful verses. What's the benefits of following truth and going after truth? They're myriad. They're just beyond comprehension. What's the consequences of turning away from truth? You have it right here. Someday they will cry out to God and he'll not answer because they turned away from the truth. So there's a price to pay for embracing the truth of God. And that's found in John 8:40. It says, "But ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, and this did not Abraham." Jesus said, you try to kill me, I told you the truth. And that's one reason why a lot of people don't embrace truth or don't want more truth, is because they know that with truth comes rejection by the world and by the worldly people around them. But Jesus said, "You seek to kill me because I've told you the truth." You live a Christian life, you seek the truth, you live the truth in your family, in your personal life, and people are going to turn against you because they've turned away from truth and they want error. And then 1 Timothy 2:4 says this, and I don't have you turn to it, but most of you are familiar with this verse. Listen to this. "Nobody can be saved apart from the truth of God, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." You can't be saved apart from the knowledge of the truth. You have certain knowledge that you can gain from creation and from everything around you, but you can't be saved apart from the knowledge of truth. And that's why people have to have, that's why they have to have a preacher. In fact, I'm just going to read those verses real quickly. In Romans, Paul makes this powerful plea. Maybe I'll read it. I can't find it. I'm trying to find the verses. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? That's in Romans. Where is it? Chapter 15? No, it's not chapter 15. That's where I thought it was, and I can't find it. I'm probably looking right at it. I got a new Bible, and I... 10:15. Okay, you said 15. I thought you meant chapter 15. Yeah. All right, let's do that. Romans 10:15. "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So, nobody can be saved apart from the truth and knowledge of the truth, and that can't happen unless somebody preaches to them. And that certainly is what our job is. Last of all, I just want to close with this. As you look at your life, I look at my life, can you see any areas of your life where truth has fallen the street and equity can't enter, justice can't enter because you've allowed some particular truth to fall down? You know, one of the things I've noticed over the years, and it doesn't take genius to notice this, but, you know, a lot of Christians, they start out like a house of fire. And then things begin to fall off. First this thing falls off, and that thing falls off, this thing falls off, and pretty soon they're just a They're just a skeleton of what they used to be spiritually. What happened? Truth fell in the street. Somewhere along the line. It didn't die. It didn't get destroyed. It just fell. It might have been prayer. We just had a wonderful series of sermons on prayer here. Brother Knuff talked a lot about it. I've talked about it. We don't pray enough. We need to pray more. When prayer falls in the street, problems develop. Truth has fallen in the street through prayer. We have problems. People don't study their Bible like they should. You know, the Bible talks about studying. It doesn't talk about just having a little devotional. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study is work. And we don't like work, do we? But when study falls in the street, problems develop. Some things can't get through that need to get through that street. It's all clogged up. We need to study the word. We need to all be students of the word. We need to be prayer warriors. You know, these are just basic things that are so basic, and yet we can let it kind of slip. And we kind of let it slip, and it slips a little more, and pretty soon we don't even notice that it's slipping. But when these things fall in the street, we got problems. How about witnessing? That's another area that's important. We need to be witnesses. Where would you be today if somebody hadn't shared the gospel with you? Where would you be today if somebody hadn't prayed for you? You don't even know how many people have prayed for you before you were saved, and even after you were saved. Somebody witnessed to me. I know who. My mother witnessed to me. She used to read her Bible. I've seen her on her knees praying. She always had her Bible out. I can't say that about my dad. My dad wasn't that way. Unfortunately, isn't that the way it is in so many homes? Women are leading the show spiritually. That's so tragic. Man, that's our responsibility, to lead the home and the spiritual matters. And then when I got to be 18 years old, another, a young man came along, Bill Latin. Took an interest in my life when I was in Pasco, Washington, going to college down there in junior college. He came up alongside of me, and I got saved. Started going to a good church for the first time in my life, where the Word of God was preached. This young man came along and nurtured me, mentored me, and I became a Christian. So where would I be without Bill Latin? What if Bill Latin had decided to just kind of take some time off spiritually during that time in his life? I might not be here today. Somebody did something to bring us to where we are today. So God help us to see the seriousness of truth and seeking it with all of our heart. As I said before, this bothers me a lot. I don't understand. One thing it's just hard for me to understand is why people are not fervent for the truth, seeking the truth, to learn more and apply it to their life. I'm not saying that so much in this church. I'm just saying in general, there's just so many people out there that are just satisfied with status quo. And it's so evident. You ask people why they go to a certain church, and they say, well, we just like the music there. It's uplifting. We like the people there. They're so friendly. Oh, we like the pastor. He's so nice. Well, those are all nice things, but hey, where's truth in all this? You know, isn't truth important? Truth is everything. You can be a nice guy. You can have nice music. You can have all kinds of nice things. But if you don't have the truth, God help you. God help you. So let's be after the truth.